Amen.
I love that song. I actually asked them if they would play that song because we have this God who's the creator of everything. We have this God who, before time began, knew about you. We have this God who knew that he would give his son for you. And we have this God that we can praise over and over and over, and we should. And all of creation cries out about this God who created the world. And the rocks cry out, and the wind obeys. And there's this moment in history when all of this comes together and reveals God to the fullest. And it's the birth of Jesus. It's the birth of Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about this December. We're going to talk about the birth of Jesus and how Jesus points to everything that God is and reveals everything that God is and died on a cross for you because he loves you so much. That is Christmas. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for thank you for your blessings. Thank you that, Father God, you've created this world, that you've created us. God, thank you that you are brilliant. Thank you, God, that you are majestic. Thank you, God, that you are love. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger to reveal you, God, to us. For him to give his life on a cross for us so that we could know the God of all creation. And in Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you. We can finally say it now because it's December. It's okay. Right? Let's take a quick poll. I know music is a divisive issue in church, but I think there's a more divisive issue. It's, do you celebrate Christmas before Thanksgiving or after? Do you put your lights up before or after? Do you listen to Christmas music before or after? So quick poll. How many of you do Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving? It's okay. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. I'm like both. I'm not sure. Some years I do before, some years I do after, okay? But there's one thing that I will do throughout the year. I will watch cheesy Christmas movies. You know what I'm talking about. You're all laughing because you watched them with me. And I've actually come up with a guide for you. Okay, I'm kind of an expert in cheesy Christmas movies. The best ones always involve two people coming together under unusual circumstances. There's some struggle. They meet. They fall in love. Okay? And then something weird happens at the end of the movie. And you love it. And there's always some famous person that's not so famous now who's in the movie. So I don't know if you remember, this is for some of you who are older, Patrick Duffy from the TV show Dallas. Okay, I watched one with him. This is kind of my generation. How many of you know the Wonder Years and Winnie Cooper? Okay, I was like, yeah, okay, all right. Some of you might remember Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris. Okay, I've watched these movies with these people in it, and I love them all. Okay? So here's this guide in case you want to go home now and you forget everything I say today about Jesus and you just want to watch movies. I'm okay with that. All right. I've ranked all the major suppliers of these movies, and this is totally subjective, but I think it's accurate. Netflix has the best ones. Okay? If you don't have Netflix, you need to get it. You can go on a free trial this month and just cancel it after Christmas. Amazon Prime Video was very good. Hallmark Movie Channel. They're two different things, okay? Lifetime is really not my favorite, okay? And then there's this channel called Up. I don't have enough data to evaluate that, okay, because I don't have that channel. But it's out there, and at the very bottom, if you want to go online and see every Christmas movie that's on cable, it's there on that link, if you're a junkie like I am, okay? So Aside of all the cheesy stuff, there are some good movies, right? There's some classic movies, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Charlie Brown Christmas, A Christmas Carol, you know that story, right, with Ebenezer Scrooge. Some of you might have Scrooges in your own households, right? And you call them what? Stop being a Scrooge, right? These are pictures from the original illustrator. Now, Charles Dickens wrote this story, A Christmas Carol, in 1843. But no one ever gives love to the original illustrator, okay? His name is John Leech. So these are some original pictures from John Leech. And you'll recognize these characters because we've seen the movie, right? In fact, we've seen every version of the movie. There's a lot of them. In 2009, there was the digitally animated version with Jim Carrey. And then in 2004, there was the Christmas Carol, the musical with Kelsey Grammer. And then there was the Mickey Mouse version. And then there was the version with James Patrick Stewart, who you all know is Captain Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek, right? And then there was the version with George C. Scott, who you know from the movie Pat. And so we just keep telling this story over and over and over, and we never get tired of it. You know why? Because it's a story of redemption. That's why you love this movie, this book. A Christmas Carol is so wonderful because it's a story of redemption. It's a story of this old man who was a miser, who is grumpy, who is summed up by the phrase, what? Bah, humbug. But what you love about the movie is that in the end, he becomes what? A loving, generous uncle figure, doesn't he? He helps Tiny Tim. He gives away money. He's jovial. He says, Merry Christmas. We love this story because it's a story of transformation. It's a story of redemption, right? We love redemption. But it's not the original story of redemption. And that's what I want to talk about this holiday season. I want to talk about Christmas and how Christmas is really a story of redemption. Yes, it involves angels and shepherds and cute tiny little baby Jesus in a manger. Yes, it involves all that stuff, but really Christmas is a story of redemption. It's a story of redemption. One of the first places that the Bible talks about redemption is in Exodus chapter 6, and I'd like you to turn there. Now today we're going to go through several passages of Scripture. We're not really going to park in one place because I need you to understand the idea of redemption. I need you to walk away this morning with understanding a biblical definition of redemption, because we don't often use that word redemption. We use it in church a lot, but not often in other places. Next week when I preach, we're going to park in a specific passage of Scripture for that Sunday. But today, we're going to be in different places. And in Exodus chapter 6, we have these verses, and I'm going to read them to you. They're on the screen. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 59. Exodus 6, verse 6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you. These are the words of the Lord God Almighty to the Israelites who have been slaves to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. They are yoked under a burden of slavery. They are captives. They are not free. I love that we sang that song, I am who you say I am, right? Who the sun sets free is free indeed. And in this particular place in Scripture, the Israelites are under a yoke of slavery. They are not free. They cannot make their own decisions. They cannot live their own life. They have to follow and do what the Egyptians say. And so what the Bible teaches us in Exodus 6 is that God's plan was to redeem them. That's where we see this word pop up, redeem. And so we've got to unpack redeem. And if you look in the verse on the screen, you see that redemption has this idea of freedom, right? You are free, and I will bring you what? I will bring you out. I will bring you out from a yoke of slavery. And it's really interesting because the book of Exodus, the title of Exodus, comes from two Greek words. Those two Greek words define the entire book, and the two words are ex and then hadas. Okay? Exodus comes from two Greek words, ex and hadas. You can go to the next slide, Steve. Ex means out, and hadas means the way. How many of you drive a car? You have an odometer, right? Do you know what an odometer does? It measures the way. That's what odometer means. It measures the way, not the direction, but it measures how many miles you've driven. And so if you look at the title of Exodus and you put these two words together, the book of Exodus literally means the way out. God went to the Israelites who were in slavery, who were in chains, and he said to them, I am going to make a way out for you. Exodus is literally about God providing a way out of slavery. Redemption is God providing a way out for the Israelites. This concept of redemption shows up over and over and over in Scripture. It shows up in the book of Leviticus. It shows up in the book of Numbers. It shows up in the book of Jeremiah. And when you get into the New Testament, it shows up in 1 Corinthians 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, in Galatians chapter 3. This word, this idea of redemption keeps reoccurring over and over and over in Scripture. And it has different little nuances with each usage, but the idea is the same, that redemption means God is providing a way out. And in the New Testament, the word redemption carries an added idea that the way out requires a form of payment. And so when we talk about Christmas being a story of redemption, what we're really saying is that Christmas is a story about God providing a way out. We know the Israelites were slaves, right? And they needed a way out from slavery. We know that Ebenezer Scrooge needed a way out from his potential chains, right? Remember when he has a conversation with Jacob Marley, and Jacob Marley is getting in his face and he's saying, look, if you don't get your act together, you're going to be like me in these chains. If you don't get your act together, you're going to end up just like me. We also have chains. We also need redemption. We also need a way out. But a way out from what? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Remember, A Christmas Carol is so wonderful because it's a story of transformation, how Scrooge goes from this person potentially in chains to this generous, loving man, right? There needs to be tension within the story to make it great. And for us to have redemption, we need to be redeemed from something, right? If you're perfect, if you're free, you don't need redemption. So what is it that we exactly need redemption from? And in Genesis chapter 3, we see a little bit of the story of the beginning of humanity. It's page 3 in your pew Bible. And I'm going to start reading to you in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. And there's the woman, and she's having this conversation with the serpent. And she says to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die. Verse 4, the serpent replies, surely you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the beginning of humanity's downfall, where the serpent is trying to get the woman to do something that God has said specifically, don't do. If we keep reading, we see in verse 6 that the woman saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye and for gaining wisdom. So she took some and she ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it as well. In Genesis chapter 3, this is sin. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is rebellion against God, and it ruins everything. And if we keep reading in Genesis 3, we will see how it ruins everything.
In verse 14, God speaks to the serpent and he says, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. And then God turns to the woman in verse 16 of Genesis 3 and he says this. Remember, sin is rebellion against God and it ruins everything. And he says this to the woman, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Now look, I've never had a baby. I don't plan on having a baby. Okay? But I've witnessed the birth of four of my children. It doesn't look fun. It looks horrible. Until the drugs kick in. Then everything's great. Sin ruins everything. What about to the man? Verse 17, to Adam, because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles, and you will eat the plants of the field. Because of what Adam did, God cursed the ground, and now there's this constant struggle between humanity and the earth for survival. A constant struggle. The earth does not yield its crops easily. We have to work for it. Right? You've probably just finished raking leaves. Did any of you enjoy that? No. If you do, there's something wrong with you. Okay? I just bagged 40 bags of leaves. I have the biggest tree on my block. I have never walked out with my rake and been like, hi-ho, hi-ho. I hate it. My son hates it when I make him come out with me. The garbage people, when they come to my house, they hate me. 40 bags. The earth has been cursed. You see, sin is a rebellious act against God. And because of sin, everything is ruined. And guess what else? Sin is killing you. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. I'm painting such a gloomy picture on this wonderful December Christmas morning. But you can't understand redemption until you understand how much we need it. You don't understand that you need to be brought out of something until you understand what a mess we really are in. Sin has ruined everything. Sin is ruining us, and it's killing us. And I see some of you shaking your head because you know. It's not just leaves and childbirth. It's wildfires in California. It's school shootings. It's suicide. It's broken families and broken marriages. See, we can't understand redemption until we understand how much of a mess we are in. And Christmas is a story of redemption. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Christmas is a story of redemption. It's the story of our redemption from sin because sin is ruining everything. Everything. And in Matthew chapter 1, this is the Christmas story. And so we typically sit around maybe at home or in services at churches and we read the Christmas story. And that's a great thing. So let's read verse 118. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And I'm going to stop right there because I'm actually going to rewrite this verse. Now, before you call me a heretic, I'm only doing this for illustrative purposes, okay? What I'm about to show you is not scripture, okay? It's scripture plus Bobby writing a few things in, but I need you to really understand the Christmas story and what it's about. So let's go to the next slide. See, if I could rewrite Matthew 1:18, it would say this. This is the reason the birth of Jesus Christ came about, to provide us the way out from sin, to redeem us, right? You see, Christmas is a story of redemption. We often think, and rightly so, it is a story, as I said before, of angels and the wise men, right? And Mary and Joseph. And, you know, I don't know if the little drummer boy was there. He's not in scripture, but maybe the little drummer boy was there, okay? Those are all wonderful things around the story of Christmas. But really, Christmas is a story of redemption, because you and I, we are stuck in sin, and sin is ruining us, and sin is ruining everything, and it's killing us. And so when the story of Christmas comes about, when Jesus is born into this world, this is the reason. Jesus was born to provide you and I a way out. That is redemption. Amen. Christmas is a story of redemption. Christmas is a story of God loving his creation so much that he provides a way out from sin. Let's keep reading. Verse 18, Matthew 1. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Oh, what a beautiful Christmas story. What a beautiful story of redemption. What a beautiful story of a God, creator of everything, who looks upon his creation, who looks upon you and I, and he sees the mess that we are in. And he decides to send his son to the earth, to the world, to be born of a virgin, to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, to be lying in a manger, to be sung about by angels, to be proclaimed about by the shepherds, to be worshiped by the wise men, so that we could have a way out. Christmas is a story of redemption. It's a story of God providing a way out. It's a story of Jesus being the way out of whatever you're in. That is the Christmas story. This is why it's so amazing. The holidays are great, and the trees and the gifts and the lights. And by the way, it looks really beautiful in here. Thank you to everyone who did this. It looks amazing. But there's something more important about Christmas, and it's baby Jesus being born so that one day he could die, so that you could have a way out of whatever you're in. Now, I don't know each one of your stories. I know some stories, but I don't know all of your stories. You know your story. And I bet if you actually thought about it for a little bit, you would agree that there's times where you need a way out in your life. You also might agree that sometimes the way out is not Jesus. You see, we try other things. We turn to different things to get out from whatever we're in. Now, I don't know what you've tried. I don't know what you're going to try. But I do know that Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the only way out of whatever you're in. That is the Christmas story. Jesus being born so he could give his life to be the way out for whatever you're in. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at Jesus. Ebenezer Scrooge had his three Christmas ghosts of past, present, and future to help guide him along. And we actually have something better. We have Jesus. And so over the next 3 weeks,
We're going to look at how Jesus is the way out of your past. We're going to look at how Jesus changes your present. And we're going to look at how Jesus changes your future. Because Jesus is the way out. That is the Christmas story. In a few moments, we're going to take communion. So I'm going to ask the ushers if you would get ready to pass out the elements. And we're going to pass out the bread. And as the bread comes around, I want you to spend time in some reflective thought. I'd love for you to spend time reflecting on whatever you're in. I know you're all in something. You can't say, no, my life is fine. I've got nothing going on. It's perfect. You can't say that. As the bread comes around, gentlemen, when you're ready, you can begin to come forward and pass it out. I need you to take that bread, because that bread is a reminder that Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross. It's a reminder that Jesus Christ took the punishment of our sin. Remember, sin is a rebellious act against God. And when we rebel against God, God requires or deals with sin through punishment. And what he did is he punished his own son, the one that we talk about during Christmas, that was born wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He would punish him one day on a cross. And this bread is a reminder, as Jesus says, of my body that was broken, his body that was beaten for you, his body that was whipped for you. Why? So that he could provide a way out of whatever you're in. Take a few moments and just reflect about where you are. I'd like you to hold on to the bread. Don't take it yet. We're going to take it together with the cup. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that you've been set free. It's for freedom that you have been set free. And we sang about that earlier. And Jesus Christ, upon his death, offers you freedom. And as the cup comes around, we're gonna sing a song. And then after that song, we'll come back together and we'll take these elements. Redemption in the New Testament requires a payment. That payment was Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate in communion. So let me read this to you. This comes out of Hebrews chapter 9. But now he has appeared once for all. This is talking about Jesus. At the end of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Let's take communion together. Christmas is a story of redemption. It's a story of Jesus being born. It's a story of Jesus living a perfect life. It's a story of Jesus giving himself on the cross and shedding his blood, which we just remembered in communion, to be the way out of whatever you're in. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here today and there's something that you're in and you don't know the way out, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know what that means, to put my faith in Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it simply means this. It means that we realize we're in a big mess. It means that we realize we have sin in our life and it's ruining everything. And it means that you acknowledge the only way out is through Jesus giving himself on a cross, but not just dying on a cross. He rose again. He defeated death. He defeated everything, and he offers you now a way out. He offers you freedom. If you would love to talk about Jesus, I want to talk to you about Jesus. I'll be up here hanging out in the front, or just grab someone around you. But let me pray as we leave this morning. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for this Christmas story, this story of redemption that is found in your son, Jesus Christ, who was born as a baby,
and died as the perfect Lamb of God on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of sins, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this season and what it means, but we also acknowledge that it's a difficult season for many, Lord. So God, I pray for those who are in something right now, who find themselves enslaved to sin, to an attitude, to anything, God, that you would show them the light, that you would show them freedom, that you would show them Jesus Christ. And we ask these things together in your name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.